Michaels.
Now is a new show that's starting this month on HBO called The White House Plumbers. Please welcome David Mandel to As Goes Wisconsin. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing a big national media tour, but locally just Wisconsin.
So exactly. Yeah. Thank you for making time for us.
Well, thank you for having a Supreme Court election that basically is holding the fate of democracy in its hands.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy Friday. I can't believe we're almost at the last week of March.
I know.
This year is just marching by.
Flying by.
Well, lot of moving parts today.
Yes.
But just to prime the pump on what our first topic is, so as we talk about rainbow songs getting canceled, although update on that from yesterday.
Oh, good.
They now can sing Rainbow Connection.
By Kermit the Frog.
Oh. That was, I talked to actually the mom who called in yesterday. They decided that Kermit is fine, Miley is not.
Okay. Well, in honor of that decision, I will throw Kermit in sometime this morning.
Perfect. But as we're talking about books being banned for pornographic material that are inappropriate for the ages that are reading them, one Utah parent asks, well, if we're really concerned about pornographic sexual adult themes, shouldn't we ban the Bible?
Excuse me.
What? Slack jaw. Yeah. So I guess that is a good question. For anyone who has read the Bible recently or a while ago, there's lots of themes in there that are pornographic, one might say.
Well, again, it all depends upon the definition.
It depends on the definition. And so I guess off the bat, is the Bible pornographic? Is it appropriate for children? But before we get into that question,
844-967-2789, you can call and or text.
But before we jump into that, just a quick highlight of what's coming up on today's show. At 11:30, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson is going to be here to talk about what has to be one of the more fun elements of his job. Can't imagine there's always a lot of fun parts of being the mayor of Milwaukee these days. But he went to South by Southwest, which is one of the biggest conferences in the country that is both movies and tech and music. And it is a massive, massive conference, but a big tech conference in Austin, Texas. And he went there to pitch international investors and other VCs that Milwaukee could and should be the next tech hub. So I heard that he did a very good job.
Excellent.
So we're going to talk to him about that coming up at 11:30. And then we're going to be talking about esports later in the show.
I have many questions about esports. Many.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun.
It's a growing thing.
Yeah, we're doomed as a culture.
No, we're not. When you read, because basically, you know, there is a Wisconsin High School Association championship is going up to UW, UW River Falls. And when you read that article, it's the same as others. I mean, there's not athletic physical activity to it, but it's saying you read some of the kids who have never done extracurriculars are now doing extracurriculars and they feel included and they feel like they've found friends. And so
they have a team.
And so I think it is important in the same way that any team, sports, club builds community. And so we're going to talk about that later. And then Matt Miller is going to be here in the 1 o'clock hour for our pop culture update. But going back to the topic at hand and a little bit more detail about where I did not get this story. This is not a story from Wisconsin. This is a story out of all places, Utah.
Yeah. Think about that.
So a Utah parent says the Bible contains porn and should be removed from school libraries. Now, Utah, there's a county in Utah, Davis County, as we've talked about many, many times across the country, there are different counties and school districts that are kind of using the same playbook as far as what books should be taken out of school libraries. It sounds like they have a similar situation as what we talked about with Sarah Harrison last week, as far as there's some books that are being requested to be removed that aren't even in the library, that there's no criteria that you as the parent who would like to ban this book has read that book.
Yeah, you don't even have to have read it.
Yeah, but one of the parts of the bill that was passed in Utah was that it can't have any indecent or pornographic material in the book. And the parent writes that the book should be considered indecent under that law. And he cited many examples. He has 8 pages of examples.
8 pages?
From the Bible that are like, and it's been a while. I don't even know. I have to admit, I've never read the Bible cover to cover. We certainly read passages. Like when I went to Catholic school in elementary school, we read passages. Certainly when I was going through confirmation and then ended up not getting confirmed, we read passages. But I don't know. I'm not sure I've never like done Bible study.
Right.
But so this parent did their homework. They brought receipts. And now the school district and the library, they have to go through the same process that they go with every other book. And they say it's probably going to be about 60 days is because they're so backlogged because there's so many other books
to be banned,
to be considered, to be removed. But I think I'm just interested for people who do know the Bible better and know some of the stories, and I'll read some of them, but is it appropriate for children? If this is the threshold we're saying, force kids, and sometimes it's not even kids anymore, it's high school students,
yeah,
who
young
are,
adults,
you know, doing things. And so is it, if we're saying that they are not prepared or emotionally and intellectually mature enough to be looking at some of the books that are graphic novels or some other books that have themes in them that is pornographic or sexual in nature, how do you justify that the Bible can stay?
It's a pretty broad definition of what is indecent.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But I don't think, and so for me, I don't think any book should be banned, right? I think because, and it's the same, like, I just don't understand parents. It's like, because you can call the library, as they cite in the article that you actually found. Parents can call and put their, and tell the library, I don't want my kids checking out these books. Instead of the Bang. Extra measure of, I don't want any child checking out these books.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's like, it's the same. To me, this feels like the same thing of every Super Bowl where there's a female performer, whether it's Rihanna or J-Lo and Shakira, and it's always too sexual. No matter what they do, no matter how much or how little clothing they're wearing, like Rihanna was fully covered, and yet her dance moves were way too sexual and raunchy.
It was just weird.
And it's like, instead of...
I was confused by the entire thing. Anyway.
But, you know, I feel like this is... I need the FCC, like that in that argument, I need the FCC to not let my children see this, shirking my responsibility to have a conversation about this with my children. In the same way that I don't want to do the extra work to or talk to my kids about these books. So these books need to be banned for everyone.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine how many people would lose their collective mind across the state in the different areas that are trying to implement these policies. If you, and I know we have some parents in the Waukesha area who are frustrated with certain things that are happening with the Waukesha School Board right now. And I want to like bribe one of them to try this just to see what happens.
Just planting a seed, perhaps.
Just planting a seed. I did tweet out this morning. I was like, has anyone in Wisconsin tried this yet? Just to see if I can give anyone an idea. Because I think the argument is valid. I don't want the Bible to be banned. I don't want any of these books to be banned. I think but it points out the hypocrisy of what certain people think is inappropriate, but then they change the definition and explain why, but not this one.
Right. This is why mine is fine.
This is why the Bible is fine, but this book that has a gay main character is not.
Even though now some of the passages that this parent cited in Utah involve rape,
incest,
abortion, murder.
I think that's also because I'm going to talk at the end of the show today. This is a little bit of a tangent, so stay with me. My friend and I went to go see The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the ballet, last night.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. But it was also like, I can't believe they made this story into a children's movie. Because the real story is dark. And it's a reminder of how violent and
cruel
our species is. Yes. And the history of, we used to just do public floggings and hang people in the town square. That was the entertainment. And everyone was just cool with it. And so when you think about the historical context of the Bible and what was just like, yeah, it's fine.
it's Tuesday. Time for a beheading.
Oh, so quick reminder, at some point during today's show, we are going to give away two pairs of tickets to Charlie Behrens, who is recording his Cripescast live on Monday in Madison. He's going to be interviewing Mike Wagner, who's wonderful. He's a professor at UW-Madison. It's a Get Out the Vote event. It's going to be fun. The tickets are VIP. You'll be sitting in the first three rows. So yeah, we're going to play a game, but you have to listen because it's going to, we're doing the thing where you have to listen to the show and we're going to keep teasing you until we actually do it. But keep listening for that. When we come back, we'll read... we'll read some of these Bible verses and you can tell us, is it pornographic? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madden-Air. And reminder that we are giving away Charlie Behrens tickets for Monday night, 7:30 in Madison at Comedy on State. He's going to be doing a live recording of the Cripescast.
Yep.
And we're giving away two pairs of tickets later on in the show. But you got to keep listening to know when it's your chance to win.
Exactly.
But the topic at hand right now is under the loose definition that some parents and school boards are using to remove books because there is pornographic or sexual content in them.
Indecent.
Does the Bible not qualify under that when you actually look at some of the stories that are included? 844-967-2789. Fair is fair. Should we ban the Bible in school libraries?
We have Stephen from Green Bay on the line. Stephen, thanks for checking in. What do you want to say?
So, to answer the question, should we ban the Bible in schools for pornographic stuff. Yeah, I mean, if we're going, you know, specifically off what they're saying, then yeah, you should.
Mm-hmm.
The Song of Solomon, oh my gosh, if you read that, it's pretty detailed. But here's the real issue. The government doesn't really have any business telling us what our kids can and cannot read. That's a parent choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so the issue really isn't should we ban the Bible. The issue is politicians need to get their sticky fingers out of classrooms and off our kids' books. And that's the bigger problem.
Snaps to that, Stephen. Because, yeah, that's what I mean, because I agree with you. I'm not in favor of banning the Bible. I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek. But I think, you know, they talk about parental control, and it's like, yeah, this is a decision where you can have control over it, but you don't have control over other people's kids. And I think that's the core, like the headbutting of this issue of they are trying to extend what they think their morals and their values onto other people's kids versus just limiting, calling the library saying, I don't want my child, if these books are available, I don't want them checking them out. That's still within their right.
Absolutely.
And that is a conversation between you and your kid. Thanks so much for the call, Stephen. So I applaud this parent in Utah who is anonymous. They've redacted the parent's name, address, everything.
Most likely for their own safety.
Probably, yeah. Because, I mean, now this is a news story, right? But it is the person who wrote the bill that...
Is he upset?
He's not upset. He's perturbed in some of his quotes for this article. He acknowledged the parent who submitted the request, quote, really had to go through their Bible study, end quote, to come up with a list of examples they found inappropriate. He added, I hope they paid attention to the other parts of the Bible, though.
Oh, well, so ultimately, just ignore the naughty parts and look at the other parts instead. Dexter from the 262 checking in at 844-967-2789. I am all for age-appropriate reading. My children had a kid's Bible when they were younger. I think the Bible needs to be on bookshelves in addition to the Quran, the Torah, books with LGBTQ+ characters, and every other book I agree or don't agree with. Knowledge is power. Book burning is for Nazis.
Hear, hear. And those books are available. So in the school district, according to the spokesperson, that school has the Bible, Book of Mormon, Torah, and Quran available to check out. Yeah, so I find this, I don't know where it will go. It'll be really interesting if it comes back. We'll have to try to keep tabs on this story because it'll be really interesting if it comes back and they, one, ban it. Could you imagine?
Not in Utah.
But then what is going to be their justification of why this one's not going to get banned?
Because they're going to find some lawyer who's going to argue some ridiculous point, much like the justification for using taxpayer money for parochial schools across the country to justify this ridiculous decision. Just my opinion.
Well, I don't know if lawyers are involved in this, though, because I think it's just a committee, and it's going through the same process as every other book, where this isn't going to court.
Not right now.
Not right now, but I challenge someone... Anyone who's listening right now in Wisconsin who is living in an area that is going through the removal of books, I challenge you to use this argument, and then I welcome you to come on the show and talk about it.
Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
Because I think it just points to the hypocrisy, right?
Absolutely.
Of that this is... Because truly... Where did I have some of these? All right, so... In the 8-page list, the 8-page list starts with passages from Genesis that mention sex, alcohol, nudity, rape, and incest. A quote from Genesis 19:8 reads, "See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do with them as you wish."
As one does.
Genesis 19:35-36 adds, "Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger..." The younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father.
Oh.
And then the other citations included highlight other themes of whoredom, breasts, and fornication. And so, yeah, it's pornographic.
It's kind of indecent.
All right, when we come back, Mayor Cavalier Johnson will be here to talk about one of the more fun elements, I think, of his job, his experience of going to South by Southwest to do a 6-minute pitch of why Milwaukee could be the next tech hub in the country. I wonder if he still has it memorized. Maybe I'll ask him to do the 6-minute pitch. All right, stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are very excited. I think this is your inaugural interview on As Goes Wisconsin. Please welcome Mayor Chevy Johnson. How you doing? Can you hear me?
I don't think.
Huh? You're still muted, I think. If you can unmute your mic. Oh, now.
I can hear you now.
Oh, I can hear you now. And I can hear you now.
There we go.
We got it. Technology. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We're happy that it's Friday. Not as excited that the snow is potentially coming tomorrow, but such is the life of Wisconsin in the not spring.
Hey, that's how it goes.
It is how it goes. So in the, you know, we're coming up on your first full year as elected mayor. Obviously, you were interim mayor for a handful of months before you were elected last April. And I can imagine there's a lot of not fun elements of this job as of right now. But getting to go to South by Southwest, probably one of the more fun ones of the last year, I have to imagine.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty cool experience. I really enjoyed having the opportunity to go down there and to pitch Milwaukee, right? What's not to love about Milwaukee? Don't worry about the snow coming. But outside of that, what's not to love about Milwaukee? And I got to tell that story to so many folks, founders and folks in the tech space, and get them to pay attention to the greatness that is this community that all of us know and love.
Absolutely. So I guess, how would you describe, because I never got to go to South by Southwest, but I did work in Silicon Valley at startups. So I was very familiar with the spectacle of this massive conference. So I guess from your experience, how would you describe what South by Southwest is to someone who doesn't know this like massive event that happens every year?
It's everything. it's everything you want, for somebody who loves cities, right? It's everybody just pouring into one space at one time for one purpose. And there's so much vibrancy and excitement. I actually got the chance to learn that there are two elements that combine to create what we now know as South by Southwest. And that's a large scale film festival with a large scale music festival. Mm-hmm. We got the central elements here in Milwaukee, obviously with Summerfest and the Milwaukee Film Festival. They merge together. And then South by Southwest, as we know it now, is the end product. But there's red carpets, you know, and folks from Hollywood coming in, doing premieres. There's all these excellent talks on a whole range of topics. New to South by Southwest this year, which was why I was there, was the opportunity for cities and regions, not just in the United States, but around the world, to pitch themselves to tech startup companies and founders and say, hey, this is why you should consider, you know, coming to our community to start or grow your business. But it is everything. There were, you know, animatronics, there were, you know, shows, there was music, there were movies, like it's everything.
So you were impressed. You were impressed with the setup.
Yes. Yes, I was.
So I guess because you had 6 minutes to pitch Milwaukee. So we're not going to make you recite the 6 minute pitch. I'm sure you don't have your slide deck that you guys prepared. But what was in your pitch on why you say Milwaukee should and could be the next tech hub and follow an Austin or a Nashville or a Boulder?
Well, what I talked about when I was there for my time on stage was about innovation and how innovation has been a part of Milwaukee's DNA from the beginning. The line that I use there that I do recall without the slide deck in front of me is innovation. It's Milwaukee's past, it's Milwaukee's present, and it's Milwaukee's future. And I talked about, you know, going back in Milwaukee, Harley-Davidson started up as an innovative startup company in the backyard shed. And you fast forward and you look at what's happening in Milwaukee now with not just, you know, a place like Rockwell Automation, but you look at a place like Milwaukee Tool, right? That's designing, you know, products with unmatched durability in our greater Milwaukee region, Generac, and all the work that they're doing, especially with the fact that we've got a changing climate and folks need access to power and the help that they're providing folks in their darkest hours. So many other places in Milwaukee and organizations in Milwaukee, like Generator and the whole startup community that's been fueled and powered by, you know, folks like Chris Abley on the ground here. So those are the things I talked about was innovation and how in the past, in the present, in the future, they've meant so much to Milwaukee, to our economy, to our way of life in this community.
And so did your message resonate? What was some of the feedback that you got from the people who were there to hear the pitches?
Well, from what I understand, we had the best pitch. which I was very happy to hear. You know, I ended up going first. I was not supposed to go first. I think I was supposed to go second. But St. Louis, who was supposed to go first, they weren't ready. So then I got called up to do it, even though I wasn't expecting it. But I came in at with really high energy, talking about Milwaukee, talking about innovation, talking about the companies that are here, talking about the success we've had with startups, with places like Fiveable, talking about Northwestern Mutual and the doubling down that they and so many other companies have had in Milwaukee, talking about, you know, our place on the southwestern shore of Lake Michigan, this body of fresh water that's going to be so important to folks in this country as we continue to deal with the effects of climate change, talking about our food and restaurant scene, talking about Summerfest, the world's largest music festival, talking about the diversity of our neighborhoods and the vibrancy of our city. So from what I understand, we had the very best presentation. It was the best prepared, best delivered presentation of anyone that was there.
Well, that is very good to hear, because as someone who's lived in L.A. and San Francisco and New York, like since I am a strong convert to Milwaukee. And I actually just went to the ballet last night, and I was saying with my friend, I was like, how lucky are we that we have a symphony, a ballet, an opera, like all the arts that we have major sports teams. Like it's such a hidden gem that I think gets overlooked beyond what's available for as far as like business innovation and actual business entrepreneurship. And so I guess I think what I read that you mentioned this, how much do you think some of our Midwest modesty gets in our own way of like being able to go out there and do what you did and like really advocate and brag about ourselves to try to sell people to come here?
Far too much.
Okay.
Far too much. And I that's one of the things that I have, you know, I've taken those gloves off, in my job as mayor. Like I think it's good that we are modest and nice and kind. The whole Midwest nice thing is good, but we need to beat our chest a little bit, right? I don't think that Milwaukee should live in Chicago's shadow, be Chicago's little sister or little brother, anymore. We're a city amongst of our own. And as you just talked about, I mean, all those big city amenities, they're present here. We've got awesome neighborhoods. We got awesome assets, awesome parks, you know, the access to Lake Michigan and fresh water, the diversity of our neighborhoods, and all the other attributes that we have in this city. It's time for us to elevate that and have that be a part of the conversation. I don't want for some other city to be in the headlines. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's part of the reason why it was attractive to me to have the Republican National Convention here in Milwaukee. the same reason that I was interested in having the Democratic National Convention. Somewhere in America, you know, these two conventions will happen. And around the world, millions and millions of people are going to see the skylines of the city, and people are going to be spending hundreds of millions of dollars potentially in those communities. I don't want that to happen in Nashville or in Detroit or Boston or Denver. I want that to happen in Milwaukee. Like, we need to stop saying, you know, oh, you know, it's good enough for that other place to have it, and say, you know, we should have our piece of the pie too. It should happen here. And that's what I'm standing up and saying as mayor. And when people, you know, come to Milwaukee and they find out, they fall in love with this place. In January, I had the opportunity to attend my first meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And I'll tell you, mayors from across the country have been here. They know Milwaukee. Their staff have been here. They know Milwaukee. They love Milwaukee. Whether I was talking to the mayor of San Francisco, who has been to Summerfest and had a great time. Yeah, yeah. And she, London Bree, loves it. Malik Evans in Rochester, New York, has been here and likes watching our Bucks play. Mayors from all over the country have a real appreciation for Milwaukee. There was one mayor, I won't name him, in Ohio, at least, and he said, he leaned into me, said, you know, I'm not supposed to say this, but Milwaukee's actually my favorite city in the country.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's a mayor of the city himself. So, like, people, when we get that exposure, people fall in love with Milwaukee, and I'm going to be the first one to stand up and say, this is a great city, and folks should experience it.
Which is great, and that's what we need, because I think, yeah, the Midwest modesty thing is real, and that doesn't play as well in when you're dealing with coasties who... Humility is not their strong suit. Let's say that as someone who's experienced those people. So we're talking to Mayor Cavalier Johnson, who was recently earlier this month at South by Southwest pitching Milwaukee as the next tech hub for the country. And so beyond, you know, obviously the recruitment and trying to sell people to bring their companies here, start their companies here, invest in the companies that are here. What are the other elements that we need as a city or as a state to really make this happen, as far as trying to put Milwaukee on the map as a place to be a home for startups?
We've got to have quality of life in Milwaukee, from safety, public safety, to a good restaurant scene, to quality places for education, to parks, to family support and jobs. There needs to be a whole ecosystem that's attractive, right? Folks are not going to come to a place to start up where there's nothing around. Like, folks want to have these sort of amenities that are available in other places. And we've got, you know, a good foundation to build off of, but we still have some work to do. And so it's you know, my prerogative as mayor to work to make sure that we're accentuating the positive things and then reducing some of the negative things that we have in our community as well here. So when we do those things, Milwaukee would be an attractive place now and into the future for folks that have startup companies or for existing companies that are here that want to double down and make investments. And I'm really, really pleased and happy that, you know, in my time as a principal leader in Milwaukee, both as mayor and as city council president, we've seen so many companies that have said, hey, there is opportunity here. We want to be here. We're doubling down. We're going to create family supporting career opportunities in Milwaukee. And things are changing. More jobs are being added. The skyline is being redefined. And we're making investments in neighborhoods across the city, too. If we do those things, we'll be attractive to startups and not just startups, but to existing businesses and folks that live here. They'll want to stay here. And folks, as we continue to tell the story about Milwaukee, will want to move here and be a part of our next chapter.
Mayor, I'm wondering if you heard anything. Why would a young couple want to move to Wisconsin, or why would a young woman want to move to Wisconsin in the current political climate where she could die trying to bring a life into existence that she wanted to, and then she has complications? I just think that's a tough sell for younger people with the way things are in Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you bring it up, because I know that, you know, growing the population for me here in Milwaukee is critically important. And quite frankly, if we grow the population in Milwaukee, then that'll give us more say in the legislature too, right? I mean, that's, you know, that's one of the added benefits of doing that. But you bring up a really good point, and it's one that we've got to consider. I know that even Republican leaders in Madison, they know full well that we've got challenges in Wisconsin. We've got a lot of folks in the baby boomer generation who are retiring. Our workforce is aging. We need to find a way to be innovative, to be attractive, like Wisconsin had been in generations past. And so this is on the mind of folks, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. And I think that there may be an opportunity for us to be able to work together, come together and find some common sense solution to things like abortion, and not just things like abortion, things that are attractive to young people in other parts of the country that move to other places, like marijuana legalization.
Absolutely. All right, well, we're going to keep you through the break and talk a little bit more about how it's going with the Wisconsin legislature in this last year. Our guest is Mayor Cavalier Johnson. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are talking to the one and only Mayor Cavalier Johnson, Milwaukee's mayor. Previously, we were talking about his experience at South by Southwest, which in your words is everything. And will you go back next year if you get the chance?
Yeah, we'll see what the cards have.
How are the parties?
I'd be interested. They were good.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge partier, but they were very energetic. It was really cool.
Good.
Any cool elbows you rubbed with?
You know, the coolest elbows I think that I got to rub with were my my wife and kids who joined me down
there. Oh, good answer.
Yeah. And it was my daughter's my twin daughter's birthday just yesterday. So they just turned 5 years old. So,
well, happy birthday to them.
Yeah.
So as far as one of the things that you were saying, as far as attracting companies, attracting people to Milwaukee, is quality of life. And I think. Yep. One thing that if you drive in Milwaukee, you are aware of is that there are certain streets that the Milwaukee Slide and certain elements of it's a little bit like Mario Kart and trying to drive in Milwaukee sometimes. And this is a statewide problem, right? This is reckless driving has been up all over the state. We live in Milwaukee, so this is our firsthand experience with it. And just this week in Madison, they passed... You know, not always a lot that gets passed there is that's bipartisan, but actually there was a bipartisan bill addressing reckless driving. And I would love, just because I know when you were running, like this is obviously something that we all know is an issue. And so do you have feelings about what they pass, if it's actually something that can help Milwaukee?
Yeah, I do. And just in full disclosure, I spent a lot of time in the Capitol in my job as mayor for a whole host of reasons. One of the more recent reasons why I ventured to the state capitol was to testify in support of these bills that, you know, address the issue of reckless driving. And as you mentioned, like, certainly it's an issue of Milwaukee, but it's really a statewide problem here as well. Anything that we can have in the toolbox to help us to address the issue is important. Reckless driving is a real quality of life issue here in Milwaukee. And I can remember the time when I was alderman, and the dividing line between my district and another was Capitol Drive. And I had people who lived on the south side of Capitol Drive who were afraid to cross the street because of reckless driving behavior, to go to the nearest grocery store that I still shop at now, the Midtown Pick and Save, because they were afraid of the reckless driving. So I spoke in favor of these bills. I'm happy that they were passed. I'm happy that Governor Tony Evers has indicated that he'll sign the bills. They fall hand in hand with some of the efforts that we are doing on the ground locally in my administration to address the issue of reckless driving too.
And I think that's why there was bipartisan support. Do you feel like there's also room? I have not kept up with like what's left with ARPA money or different infrastructure money, but as far as like momentum towards also redesigning the streets and some of these, like, because you think about Capitol Drive and some of the places where the driving is the worst, they're built like speedways, right? Like there's just the possibility to go that fast is available. And so do you feel like there's momentum or support to actually, I don't know, as much as people hate them, but like roundabouts aren't that bad. Like, like maybe put a couple more roundabouts throughout the city.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. Even if there wasn't momentum, we're making the momentum, and we're leading that in my administration. So just this week as well, actually, in the first day of spring, I got out there with my leadership team and the Department of Public Works, the commissioner, as well as the city engineer, and we launched 50 projects throughout Milwaukee to address the issue of reckless driving. Some of those will be reducing the number of lanes, adding actual protected bike lanes, which is good for the folks who are biking, but also creates an impediment for folks who are trying to pass on the right and drive recklessly. So that's just an example of 50 such traffic calming projects that'll take place throughout Milwaukee. So you'll see more orange construction barrels than you ever seen in Milwaukee. And I know folks don't necessarily like that, but what they like even less is dangerous, reckless driving, and we're on a mission to fix it.
Absolutely. Well, I guess with a couple minutes that we have left, what do you consider your anniversary date? Do you consider it when you became interim mayor, or do you consider your anniversary the upcoming one of when you were elected?
I celebrate them all.
Okay.
I celebrate them all.
Good. So take the wins.
That's so acting, Milwaukee, yes.
acting mayor back in December 22nd, 2021. So I celebrate that. And, of course, my election as mayor on April 5th of last year. So I celebrate them all.
Good. As you should. And so I guess because we probably won't talk to you before before April 5th, but any reflections on your first year and maybe year and some months as far as things accomplished, things you're looking forward to, is it what you expected?
You know, I had the privilege under the former mayor to work in this office as a staffer. So I really have, climbed the ranks. I was a staffer here, then went to become an alderman, then became council president, then acting mayor, then elected mayor. So I oftentimes reflect on the journey to get to this point right now. And yeah, there are a lot of things to celebrate. We touched on some of them even in this conversation now, right? My administration working really closely with Northwestern Mutual to have a $500 million investment. My administration's effort to retain Pfizer's global headquarters, not sending it out east to New York, New Jersey, not to the South in Atlanta or other parts of the Midwest where they've got large office presence, but retaining them here in Milwaukee. The investments that we're making to make the city safer with reckless driving, our crime plans that we've released with police, the fact that crime in the first solid year that I've been mayor have gone down 15% overall and violent crime 7%. We still have challenges, obviously, but we're making progress. So I feel very optimistic about where we're going and where we've come so far.
And as you should. I mean, I think sometimes we get so bogged down with the numbers and the headlines that it's hard to keep those numbers you just listed top of mind, that like there is progress and it doesn't happen overnight. I would say seeing you go out to things like South by Southwest and actually like advocating for the city and trying to preach and shed some of that Midwest niceness and politeness to get people to understand that like Milwaukee's great. And it's not like any other city that we don't have our problems, but as far as it's like, it's a great city. So it's great to have a mayor who is out there telling the world that we're great. And so I guess my last question is the Summerfest lineup dropped. Is there anyone in particular you're very excited to see?
I know that it dropped. Actually retweeted the message that it dropped. I have to consult with my boss, my wife, to see who we'll go check out. We did go last year and had a chance to see Lil Wayne.
Oh, okay.
Which is really, really cool. So we'll talk to the boss and see what Dominique thinks.
All right. That's again very good answer. Very solid answer. All right, Mayor Cavalier Johnson, thank you so much for spending time with us today. Open door policy. Come back whenever you want. We'd love to have you.
Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to coming back.
All right. Have a great day. All right. Well, we're taking a break for the top of the hour news. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.